not about the blessing we receive from God. It's the joy of giving to Him. And we want to just pray over the tithes and the offerings that God will actually use it for His glory and that we'll have the wisdom to do that. Father, we just thank You that we can give to You as You've commanded us. And Lord, we just take it as an absolute privilege that we can give to You. And Father, we ask that You'd use your monies now and use it to the extent of Your kingdom. May we be wise as we apply the finances, Lord, to see many people come to know You as Lord and Savior. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Robbie, where's Robbie? Thanks, Robs.
Morning, all. It's great to be here, right? Okay, for me, it's great to be here. All right. I would have said it a bit louder, but anyway. And also because I haven't been here for 2 weekends, so I've really missed you guys. We've got a lovely family. But welcome to everyone, to Jan and Daphne. I've got to get this right. I'm infamous for getting names wrong. And Vaughn and Nikki, right? And all your kids, I'll never remember them. Okay. All right, so welcome. If we could put our hands together for our guests. And then for the rest of the visitors, do we have any other visitors here today? If you could put up your hands. We're not here to embarrass you. Welcome here. And there we go. And do know there's a free cappuccino afterwards. Yeah. Yeah, what an incentive, eh? And also for the little ones, eh? We told you, didn't we? I told one of you, Zooms. Okay, for the kiddies. So make sure you get them, all right? Okay, the little cool drinks. So that's great. All right. And then after the meeting, we're going to have prayer over here for those who feel they need prayer. If you can just come, there will be elders and deacons here to pray for you. So after the meeting, you're welcome. After meeting as well, we're also going to have a leaders meeting with a bring and share. So that's great. Please do join us there. And then the parents with the toddlers and babies right at the back there. For those who don't know, the toddlers are at the back. So they get a little bit out of hand. You can go onto the grass and let them let their hair down. Obviously, I'd say that. What else? Oh, yes. On Wednesday, we have our impact. It started again with a psalmody. Incredible. So those who were part of the last, it's continuing. So please do join us. Incredible time. We have a fellowship meal before as well, which Myrna so lovingly prepares. And Nikki, Nikki cooked for us on Wednesday. I know you're very humble in that. Well done, Nikki. It was incredible. So you missed out on an awesome meal. So, Myrna, you can take time off. And, all right, so that's great. And then personal invitations at the front when you come in. Please do take these. I know last week, although I wasn't here, everyone was handed out little pamphlets, and a lot of people have said they handed it down their roads. So thank you very much for that. But it doesn't stop on one day. It's a continual invite. All right, the world is big and we need to save the world. So, sounds like a song in that, eh? Save the world. Yeah. No. Yeah. All right, so that's me done. And Judy, yes. Sorry, I almost forgot, eh? How can we forget about Judy?
Thanks. I just have a small family business to chat about. The Lord's Word says in Psalm 27, verse 10, that never, even if your mother and your father forsake you, I will draw you to me. I will adopt you. That's what it says. I went into the Amplified, and that's what it says. Now, Tracy sent an SMS to us on Deacon's WhatsApp the other day to say that her maid's grandniece is 10 months old. She's HIV positive. And her parents couldn't cope with her anymore and dumped her in a rubbish bin. And somebody rescued her and has taken her to her grandmother. And so her grandmother is taking care of her. But they're in a rural area down in the Eastern Cape. And there are no resources to take care of this little one in this family. And so because Tracy's, the lady that works with Tracy is Yes, is grandmother to whatever. She's part of the family. She brought this whole issue to Tracy, and she and Tracy have had an opportunity to pray over this little girl. And I just wanted to know whether, as family, you know, the Lord says, you will know me by, the others will know you by my love being demonstrated through you. And so I'm just asked that if there are any folks here who have children's clothing, especially little girls' clothing from about age 10 months onwards, if you can help with anything in December, we're wanting to send Senaria down to Eastern Cape with some gift to be able to take to this family that's taking care of this little one. So if you don't mind, Trace, would you stand up? That's Tracy at the back there, and me, and if anybody over the next couple of months has anything to help out this family taking care of this little one, can we demonstrate God's love to the family? And just know that it's not only a testimony to them, but it's also within Tracy's own family where we see God's hand come through. Okay.
Great, thanks, Judy. I think without further ado, Mark will probably pray for Jan.
Thanks, Robbie. Thanks, Judy. Today we have an incredible privilege to have Jan and Daphne and Vaughan and Nikki from North Point. They've come to minister to us today, so I would like to call you up in your entourage with their wonderful families to come up and stand here. Jan and Daphne, we've known for quite a number of years and become good friends. But God has blessed these two families with wonderful children. They have six. You're supposed to say, ooh! They are wonderful mother and father, and Vaughan and Nikki have got three. Amen, eh? I'd like us to extend our hands towards them. Jan and Daphne serve with us on Tyron's translocal team, and they are a blessing to the church, but I just want to just pray God's grace over them today as they minister to us. Father, we just thank you for Jan and Daphne. Lord, you give gifts to the church, and you give given these wonderful folk to serve in your church. And I just really ask today, Lord, as they come to minister your grace and your love through the power of your word, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your enabling through them today, and pray that you would use them powerfully to change our lives, Lord, and to be transformed and renewed through the message that you've given them today. So thank you for your goodness towards them now, and bless them and bless their church back home, Lord, as they've released them to come and minister in our context today now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Jan.
Does Daphne want to say something? Do you want to say something? I think, do you want to?
Yeah. What should I say? Good morning, everyone. It's just such a privilege to be with you this morning. And I really just had a sense that we've seen such a whole bride here. You know, we are always talked about as the bride of Christ. And I just want to say, well done. You guys have loved us. I haven't stopped being asked, do you want a cup of tea? Here's that, there's that, where are your children going? So honestly, you're such a welcoming, loving body of Christ. Don't lose that. This is what the world out there needs, Johannesburg in particular. We've got a lot of lonely people out there. And I just want to say, extend what you have here to your neighbors and to the nations. For us, it's been a privilege to be with you. Thanks for loving us. And I want to ask you, I'm sure my husband would say it, open your heart to the word. Let Christ deal with you this morning. Let him. And I don't say that in a harsh way. He comes to encourage. I think many of you here this morning need encouragement. We all need some sort of correction in some areas. But I think, first of all, just the love of Christ. That's what changes the territory and the land, is his love. So honestly, thanks for blessing us. I feel encouraged being here this morning. And honestly, Nikki and Mark, thanks for the invitation. It's a real delight for us to come and serve you, honestly.
Thank you, love. Is it okay we pray again? Father, we come to you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, I pray as we open up our Bibles, may we open up our hearts and our minds. I thank you this morning, Jesus, that you have ordained this time for us to be together right now. And you have something that you are wanting to deposit deep within our hearts. And my prayer is this morning that there would be a deep work that takes place in the hearts of every man and every woman. We think of the children even out there being taught your word. We pray this morning, Jesus, that we would be changed and transformed to look more like you, Christ. We know that the world is in a mess and the world is desperate. And the only answer, the only solution is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's only going to come through the church, Father. There is no plan B. You have not come up with any other strategy or plan to save the world but the church. And we pray this morning that you would remind us of that again. And Lord, I pray this morning that there would be much joy in this place. Oh God, how can we not celebrate? How can we not be joyful when we for a moment think of who we were and now today who we are? We were by nature objects of wrath. We had the anger and the fierceness of God set against us. But because of the blood of Jesus this morning, we are sons and we are daughters of God Most High. What an incredible privilege. What an incredible and amazing place we sit in here today, Jesus, as sons and daughters of God. As I pray for freedom, Lord, I pray that the enemy will not rob us this morning of experiencing this true joy in the presence of the Almighty God. And for that, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Really, it's good to be here. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, guys, and the elders for the invite. When Mark spoke to us some time ago about coming here this morning, we really were excited to be with you this morning. And I just sense such a joy over this place this morning, the joy of the Lord. You know, Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 8, after the guys have worked so hard and they'd given everything and they had opened the law, which is the word of God, the people started weeping. And Nehemiah said to them this. He said to them, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And I pray this morning that we would experience something of that joy in this place, that as we go look at the word this morning, I know we're in October, November. That's usually the time where, you know, we kind of just like making our way through toffee to get to December so we can, and then it all starts over in January. But my prayer this morning is that we would have an encounter with God and that would lead to the joy of the Lord being our strength again. Friends, our strength is not in our great effort or whatever. Our strength is in the joy of the Lord this morning. And that is my prayer, that we would experience that. And I don't know about in this side of the city, but where we come from in the north, man, I tell you, joy is hard to come by. There's very little joy to find out in the world. In fact, we find the opposite right now. In the traffic and wherever we go in the shopping malls, people are just in that space where it's like, get out of my way or pay the price. And everyone's on their own mission. But, you know, I think what concerns me a little bit is that I'm seeing something of that creeping into the church. I'm seeing something of the spirit of the world being manifested in the people of God, in and among the people of God, and it should never be like that. I honestly believe, friends, that yes, we go through stuff. Jesus didn't call us to a bed of roses, right? I was saying to our leaders, we had a prayer meeting as the men, I said, if you go throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, there's not a single place where God calls a man or a woman to more comfort or more convenience. There is no such thing. There's not a single person in the Bible that God called to himself to fulfill his purposes and that they went from where they were into the call of God and they found themselves in this purple patch of comfort and convenience and it was just wonderful, no challenges, no difficulties, and no strife. Every single person that was called by God was called into a greater place of sacrifice, was called into a greater place of paying a price. You know, you can go through from Abraham. God says to him in chapter 12, he says, leave your home and your country and come and follow me in the book of Genesis and I will show you to the place I'm leading you. And then we know Abraham goes through incredible challenges and difficulties, even so much so that God says, put your son on the altar. And then Moses gets called, and we eventually later in Moses, I think it's around Numbers 11, Moses says this. He says, God, if this is what you've called me to, then rather kill me now. Have you been in that place? Say, Lord, if this is the call, if this is my life, if this is what I got to live, then rather kill me now because I don't want to go on living in this call, in this place that you've called me to. That is a hard place to be in. And so we can go through every single character. And Paul, we see God, when Jesus called Paul, he says, I'm going to call you and I'm going to show you how much you're going to suffer for my name. I mean, who wants that call? Hey, Vaughn, come and serve me and I'm going to show you how much you must suffer. And then later on we see Paul Seavey, shipwrecked, beaten with rods, stoned, left for dead. He says, I was in danger in the country, danger in the city. I was constantly on the run. I mean, there's nothing comfortable. I wonder what Paul looked like at the end of his life. He must have looked like a freak of nature. Bent over. I mean, how many of you have had lashes being put on your body? Paul says, I've had that how many? Four times. Paul says, I was pelted with stones. He says, I was constantly in danger from wherever I went. He was lowered down a city wall in a basket because everyone was coming after him. What incredible. And then we see, obviously, our ultimate example was Jesus. Was Jesus who suffered the most excruciating, painful death on the cross because of the call of God. But something that I'm noticing a little bit as I get in our church and the churches that we get to minister in and travel around is I'm seeing a little bit of the of what the world and how the world operates creeping into the church. I'm saying this, friends, I really believe when people come through our doors on a Sunday morning, if they do not experience something of the joy of God, something's wrong. Now, I'm not saying that we must all do cartwheels and jump off the ceilings and go crazy and, you know, just pretend and put it on, but I honestly believe we have much reason to be the most joyful people on the planet. They get concerned when I walk into a church and 90% of the people look like this morning they were baptized in lemon juice. It's like, how are you doing? Oh, but I'm so good, but oh. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I believe when people come into contact with us, friends, from Monday to Sunday, even in our struggles and our difficulties, there should still be something of the joy of the Lord in us. Because the world doesn't have it. It's not found there. It's got to be found in the church. It's got to be found in our lives, in our interaction with people. Let me ask you this morning, are you living in and experiencing the joy of the Lord? Is the joy of the Lord truly your strength? And so this morning, I don't know, when I look at church, I see, especially in the book of Ephesians, that plenty of times the church is spoken about as a family, right? It's over and over. It speaks about that we're the family of God, we're the household of God, with Jesus, with God as our Father, we are brothers and sisters. And so this morning, as a family, we're going to have a little bit of fun together. Is that okay? Is that okay to have fun in church? It's not a sin. Can we laugh in church? Can we be joyful? Of course we can. We should be. Why? Because we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. This world is, we look around the world right now, no matter, you can put your finger on any nation on the map and there's strife and hardship and difficulties and natural disasters and terrorist attacks, whatever it is. But the Bible says this, that you and I are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Isn't that awesome, friends? This is as bad as it's going to get for us. We've got something far greater to look forward to. But for you this morning, if you're here and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can I say that this is as good as it gets? Because when this life passes, it gets a lot worse if you're not in Jesus Christ. But for us, this is as bad as it's going to get. Because we have a great future to look forward to in the kingdom of God. So I need 4 brave, adventurous volunteers, please. 4 people who are not so concerned about themselves, but that I can call up. 4, I need 4. If I can have a married couple, please, husband and wife. And then, okay, now this is great. I'm going to take the 2 couples. Is that okay? Is it all right? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for volunteering. Okay. I need you guys to come a little bit closer and just to stand here in front of me, in front of this. All right. So we're going to play a little game this morning. Can you all see them? You want to stand on the stage? Okay. There we go. Just take a step up. All right. You want to get up there? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, we're going to play a little game, okay? So what we're going to do is, won't you hold on to that for me? And sir, if you don't mind holding on to that for me. All right. Okay. So what I want you to do with this is going to go in your mouth, okay? I promise you, it's been cleaned, it's sanitary, it's completely safe. You can trust me. I'm a pastor. Have you heard that one before? Okay. Okay, so this thing is going to go into your mouth, okay? So like this. Other way, is it like this way? Yeah. Okay, so I guess.
Can you get? There you go. Okay. There we go. All right. Now we're going to have a little competition. Don't they look beautiful? Stunning, eh? Hope you brushed your teeth this morning. So now I'm going to give the wives each a little card. No, sorry, the husband, the card. And the husband's got to read this card, and the wife, the quickest one to figure out what the husband is saying is going to win this competition. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to give you this card, and you've got to read it, and you've got to guess what he's saying in the quickest time possible. Okay, so he's not allowed to see. You just got to read it to her. Wait, slow. Wait, let me switch. Slowly, word by word.
Hahila, haksas, hareni, hen, health.
Okay, let's go one word. What first word? Yes. First word.
Hahila. Hahila.
Let's try again.
Hahila.
No.
No idea. Okay, next word.
Ha.
Next word.
Ha. Stars.
Stars?
Yes, we got one word. Woo, we're making progress. Okay.
Have.
Yes.
Any.
Any. Any.
Put an M.
Many.
Yes.
Hen.
Pen.
Pen, yes.
Health.
Health. Health.
Health.
Health. Hold. Held. Wait.
Health.
Pen.
Pen. Health. No.
Starts with a P. Pen.
Pals.
Pals. There we go. There we go. Okay, so we're almost there. We just need those first few.
Hahila. Hahila.
Wait, popular.
Yes. Popular. Yes, we got it. There we go.
Ha.
Popular. Wait, spot.
No.
Light.
No.
Okay. Let's give them a break just to take it easy there. They were close. Let's see if you guys, how you guys do. Are you ready? Yeah, he must read it. Wait, let me just choose the nicest one for him. There we go. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, how long have you guys been married?
35 years.
It should be easy then. Don't let us see the card, eh? Okay, first word. Let's turn this way. Let's turn. Come stand over here so that the church can see you.
Porridge.
Yeah.
Porridge.
Yes. Porridge.
In.
In.
Yeah.
A.
A.
Hurley.
Porridge in a hurry.
No.
Hurley.
Hurley.
No. Hurley.
Hurley.
Yes, yes.
Curry.
No. Hurley. Dale. Dale.
Dale.
Next word. Pear tree.
Pear tree.
Yes, yes.
Porridge in a pear.
In A?
Hurry, pear tree.
No.
It's a song then, isn't it?
A tail.
A ring.
Inside a ring is a?
A tail. A tail. That's on a ring.
A bow.
Yes, well done. You got it, guys. Awesome. Let's give them a round of applause. Well done. You can put that there. I'm not going to touch it now. No, it's cool. Don't worry. Just put it here. Yes.
Wonderful. Isn't that fun, eh? It's great. It's great to have fun in church. It's great to just do stuff together as family. I think there needs to be much more laughter in church when we get together. And it's wonderful. So just want to talk this morning about really just the joy of the Lord. I was so encouraged to hear earlier on of what some of the guys had brought in the prayer meeting. And I think Vaughn's wife, Nikki, also just reemphasized it again. And this morning, really want to just speak about living and experiencing the joy of the Lord. I also want to look at this morning of how do we constantly live in the reality of the joy of the Lord. Because let's face it, life is full of challenges. Life comes, life happens, and we go through difficulties. We go through seasons of strife and challenges in our lives. But how is it possible that you and I as Christians, as believers in Jesus, can constantly, ongoingly live in this joy that the Bible speaks about? And then some of the things that we got to watch against that without us sometimes even knowing actually comes to steal our joy. I want to talk about some of that stuff this morning of what it is that comes to rob our joy so that we can know what they are and we can know how to come against them and how do we overcome those things that come to rob our joy. And that's what I want to look at this morning is living in the joy of the Lord. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, of peace, and of joy in the Holy Spirit." And can I say this morning, friends, this joy that we're speaking about this morning, the biblical joy, the joy that we see overemphasized again and again in the Bible, is very different from being happy. It's very different from being happy. You know, I think that there's this thing of that we think we come to Jesus, we come into Christianity, and that guarantees that we will be happy every single day of the rest of our lives. But we don't. There's no reality in that. You see, true biblical joy is not tied to what happens to me or doesn't happen to me. It's not tied to, did I get my parking this morning where I usually park? Is someone sitting in my seat this morning at church? Did I get the promotion? Did I get the increase? Did I get the boyfriend? Did I get the husband or whatever it is, friends? The true biblical joy I'm speaking about this morning is not tied to that stuff. It is a supernatural joy that does not come from the outside and influences us, but it's something that God by the Holy Spirit does from within us. I meet so many Christians who live this sort of Christianity. One day you see them and they, praise God, it's so wonderful. The next day you see them and they are so depressed. They are so battling with life. They're just down in the dumps. And I think it's because we have not understood what the true joy means. True joy is not dictated or brought to me by the outside of what happens to me. There's nothing more powerful in a Christian's life, friends, than when you're going through the most difficult trial to still be displaying the joy of the Lord. That is one of the most powerful testimonies to the world that even though I'm going through difficulty, even though I'm going through challenges, the joy of the Lord is not set on those things of what I have, what I don't have, what I do, what I don't do. It's something that God's done inside of me. And you know what? No circumstance, no world, nothing can take it away because God has put it inside of me. I was saying to the guys that we met with, I said, isn't it amazing sometimes when we go through strife, when we go through some challenges and difficulties, our first question is, where is God? Where is God in this? Why is God allowing this to happen in my life? Why am I going through this difficulty right now? And I remember when my wife and I about 10 years ago transitioned or took over this church that we have the privilege of leading this at the moment called North Point City Church. Very soon after that, one of my sons who was here up here this morning started to have seizures, started to have epilepsy, and started to have them more frequently and more violently to the point where we could not really leave him alone. And my prayer in this thing was like, God, why now? Why? We've just taken over this church. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if what's happening. It's all of this responsibility, and now this is happening to my son. And I remember asking the question, why God, why now? But again, friends, we have to settle in our hearts that even though when things don't go the way that we think they should go, when we go through difficulty, it's not where's God in it. It is when I look at the scripture, we should thank God because if often when difficulties and challenges are in our lives, it's part of that we are doing something to advance the kingdom.
Because we look in the Bible and we see everybody who's been called by God, as I said earlier, who advanced the kingdom, had some challenges in their lives. When are you most reliant on God, friends? When everything's great, and the bank is full, the cupboards are full, the petrol tanks are full, everything is full and you're well. No, that's often the times when we are more prone to just kick back and just cruise through life. But often when we go through some difficulty and some challenges, man, then we are on our knees and trusting the Lord, eh? I mean, my wife and I, next year, are celebrating 20 years of marriage. And it has just been, looking back at our marriage, I know for many of you in this room, that's like kindergarten stuff. As I spoke to some, we've been married for 40, 50. It's awesome. It's a great, great heritage. But, you know, I look at my wife and I, we were speaking the other day, and we were talking about those moments we remember in our marriage as the most precious. They were the moments where we had nothing. They were the moments where if God doesn't come through now, we are done for. They're not necessarily the moments when we had everything covered and everything was lavished on and we were provided for in an amazing way. They were often the times when we were in our most challenging moments in our lives. And so there's a big difference between being happy and true biblical joy. You know, we should be joyful because Jesus' life was totally characterized by joy. When the angels announced Jesus in Luke 2:10, they said this about Jesus: we bring good tidings of great joy. In Luke 1:47, Mary's song about Jesus, when she sang, she says, "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Even before Jesus was born, already there's these announcements, there's these proclamations about joy that he would bring. And in Luke 1:44, when Jesus is still in the womb of his mother, Elizabeth comes into the room, and we know that John does a somersault in the womb. Can you imagine that? As Mary comes in with Jesus inside, and Elizabeth comes in with John, immediately because of Jesus' presence in the room, it says that the baby leapt for joy. In the womb, Jesus brings joy. Isn't that awesome? In the womb, Jesus brings joy. There is no way where Jesus cannot bring joy into our lives. And then we look at the life of Jesus. When he began his ministry, what was he accused of? Being a drunkard? The religious people said to him, "Jesus, you're having too much fun." They despised him because he went to weddings and parties. He went and ate with sinners. The religious leaders hated him because he was having fun. Jesus was enjoying life. And the religious people didn't like that because you're not supposed to be having fun as a Christian. You're supposed to just toe the line, keep to the rules. Now, I just believe in our day, something that the Lord is doing is releasing us again from a spirit of religiosity in the church. Where this is church, and if you don't fit into this mold or you don't do it this way, our way, then you're not doing it the right way. Man, in our church, I'm trusting and I pray in the churches of Jesus Christ that he would liberate us and break us free from a spirit of religiosity. Because where there's religiosity, friends, we can so easily miss the life of God. We can miss what Jesus is doing. And so, as I said, biblical joy is something that happens on the inside of us. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And that's why I can't understand when some Christian says, "Yes, I love Jesus, but they're miserable. They are the most unhappy people on the planet." How is it when Galatians 5:22 says this? The fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the next one? Joy. You see, friends, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit here this morning, if you are a child of God, the manifestation of your life, one of the fruits that should be evident to see, for people to see and taste, is joy. The joy of the Lord. And then it goes on to say peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law. You know why I think sometimes so often we walk around and so unhappy? It's because we're often walking around comparing ourselves. How many of you have done that? Compare. The curse of comparison. Of what you have and don't have, or what they have and what they don't have, or what they say, what they do. All of this, this worldly system that we live in of comparison, it is a killer. It kills us. And Jesus has not called us to live there. And so the world tells us a whole thing of, have you ever noticed, friends, on a lot of the commercials on TV? I've noticed, say for instance, we're gonna watch an example just now. But if you look at a commercial, for instance, of a car, they will not tell you this car, if you buy this car, it's going to give you X amount of kilometers per liter of petrol or diesel. They don't tell you the safety features of that car on this commercial. What they tell you is without this car, you're a loser. Without this car, you're not going to get that hot chick. That's what they're telling you. Without this car, you are average. You are not special. And so what the world is constantly feeding us is saying to us, hey, you want happiness? You want joy? Then get this and get that and get this. And only if you get this, then you're going to get the joy. But it's a lie from the pit of hell. Because that thing doesn't... How many of you have bought a new car, a brand new car, driven it out brand new? Anyone had the privilege of buying a new car in this room? I must say, I've never been in that place. But when you drive out there and you smell the leather, ooh, it's nice, eh? So nice. And then you get home, and there's these things called children waiting. And in my case, I have six of them. And please pray for me, my wife wants more. Even this morning, she says, you know, I want another child before we came here. So I'm sleeping very restlessly at the moment. One eye open like this. But you know, you got these things called children waiting at home. And when you get home and they want to jump in and you're like, hey, no. Take off those shoes, wash your hands, go brush your teeth and brush your hair before you get in my new car, right? 2 weeks later, it's an old car. It's like, no, get in, don't worry, don't take off your shoes, just get in. Right? Because it wears out. Because, friends, it's not where our joy comes from. It's not where God wants us to find our joy, is in those things. That new car smell will go. Can we quickly just play this clip? We won't play the whole thing. It's a bit long. But I want you just to get an idea of what I'm saying. Thanks, guys.
Oh, you look good.
Thank you.
Hey! See the guy taking my little girl out, huh?
Yep.
Huh. You know what? Why don't you go ahead and take my new car?
Thanks, Pops.
Go ahead, baby.
Watch this.
Boom!
This is my favorite spot. You are my favorite girl.
I'm taking you home.
Why?
Car Finder on the Hyundai Genesis.
Back so soon?
Here you go, sir.
Because a dad's got to do what a dad's got to do.
Honey, what you guys do tonight?
Can't barely stand on my feet.
Take a look at yourself in the mirror
and cry.
And cry.
What you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
I spent all my years believing you.
I just can't help it. Somebody, anybody, find me.
Somebody to.
Introducing the all-new Ridgeline, the only truck with an available truck bed audio system. A new truck to love. From Honda.
Working for the man from 9 to 5. But when I'm on the road, feeling fat and bold, it's the only time I feel alive. They can't believe what their eyes have seen, but never thought a breeze could feel so badass. It's hybrid mayhem all goes a bunch of friggin' miles on so little gas. Tread on wheels, I just don't give a dang.
Heck on wheels.
Sorry, baby, corners like a boomerang. When Johnny Lott is coming after you, but he's not after you, so you let him through. Cause Johnny Lott is passing you right on by. Yeah, this mother trucking ride is keeping it safe, so now I don't spill my chai. Come on! Yeah, talk about heck on wheels. Heck on wheels.
Thanks, guys. We won't go into the rest. There's some really funny ones coming, but for the sake of time. But what I'm trying to you to see this morning is there was very little about the specs on those vehicles, right? They were selling an image. They were selling something of saying to you, buy this and you'll get that. The whole image thing around it. And we need to be careful that we don't so easily as Christians fall into that thing of the ways of the world and what they're trying to sell us and trying to tell us. Yeah, so just in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, if you have your Bibles, won't you please turn there with me? Philippians 3 and verse 1. You know that for us to be joyful is actually commanded in the Bible. It's not a choice, it's a command. The Bible says that we must be joyful. And so in Philippians 3, verse 1, it says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. When you turn to Philippians chapter 4, see what Paul is writing there. He says, and when Paul is saying this statement, he's actually giving a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not if you can. He's saying this, friends, rejoice in the Lord always. Ooh-wee. What is he saying? Is that even possible? Do you always find yourself rejoicing in the Lord? You might have walked in here this morning, and truth be told, with where you're at in your life and the challenges you're facing and what you're going through, the last thing you're feeling right like now is rejoicing. So what was Paul saying here? How can he make such a statement? How can he make such a command that you and I must rejoice in the Lord always? Again, I will say, rejoice. You know when Paul wrote this letter, friends, to the Philippians. You know where Paul was? Paul is sitting in jail. He's sitting in prison awaiting his fate or whether he would be executed or whether he'll be tortured or whether he will be released. And he, in that place of imprisonment, in that place of almost no hope, he says this to us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. What a statement to make from a man who's sitting in jail. And remember, Paul is not sitting in jail because he was caught with drugs. Paul is not sitting in jail because he was caught drunken driving. Paul isn't sitting in jail because he committed a crime. Paul was sitting in jail for Jesus. Think about that for a moment, friends. When something doesn't go our way, ah, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord doesn't love me. We hear in a heap. Here's Paul in jail for Jesus, being persecuted. He could at any moment be executed, the end of his life. And he's saying to us, church, rejoice in the Lord always. This is not a man who's saying something to us that he didn't live himself. This is not a man who's giving us a command that he himself is not absolutely fulfilling in his own life. How could Paul say this, friends? Because Paul had a revelation that we need in the church today, is that no matter whether I'm in jail, whether I'm in a 5-star hotel, wherever I find myself, actually those things outside cannot dictate to me whether I choose to rejoice or not. And we as Christians, and for me in my own life, friends, I want to get to that place where no matter what happens to me, no matter what my circumstances are around me, that I would find myself rejoicing in the Lord. And that is my prayer for us here this morning. That, man, whether we go through difficulty or the loss of a loved one, as tough as it is, or whatever the case may be, that we will find ourselves rejoicing in the Lord. But as we go through life, we will see that there are some thieves. We know that very well in Joburg, right? There are some thieves that want to steal our joy, that want to rob us, that want to take the joy from our lives. And I want to this morning talk about three of them, and then I want to talk about how do we overcome these three thieves that want to steal our joy. The first thief that wants to steal our joy is this little word called worry. How many of you are worriers? I'm not saying a warrior as in a fighter. I'm saying you worry. You worry about stuff. You're always worrying about things. Worry is a joy stealer. It robs us of the joy of the Lord. The second one is stress. Ooh, how we know about this in the city. Stress. The stress levels right now, if we had something to measure the stress levels in Joburg right now, it will be off the charts. Because of where the economy and the government is at and where people are at in our nation. Right now, the stress levels, I mean, in our city where we live, it is incredible how stressed people are right now. You see, stress is a thief that robs us from the joy of the Lord. And the third one is fear. Fear. Fear is a thief that robs us. So let's analyze them quickly. What is worry? What is it when we worry? Worry is excessive anxiety about something that may or may not happen. You know, friends, in our lives, we worry about so much stuff. And a lot of the stuff we worry about does never even happen. But we've spent so much time worrying, and as we worry, guess what? We grow ulcers, we grow all sorts of sickness, and why? Because we are worrying. And then a lot of the stuff we're so worried about never even happens. And we're like, why was I so worried about that? It didn't even come to pass. Worry is like an acid that eats away at joy while we wait for the outcome. What about stress? Stress is a little more acute than worry. Stress is intense strain over a situation that we cannot change or control. It is something that is out of our hands. We stress about stuff. And the last one, fear. Fear is different from worry and stress. It's a dreadful uneasiness over the presence of danger, evil, or pain. And you know what fear does, friends? It always makes things appear bigger and greater than they actually are. That's what fear does. Fear wants to creep into our lives to kill faith of what God's word has said. And it robs our joy. So what is the answer to all of these things that is out to rob our joy? What is the answer? What is the answer? How do we live victoriously as Christians knowing that, you know, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, but the truth is we're not always rejoicing. But how is that possible when fear, worry, and stress wants to rob us of the joy of the Lord? Well, the answer is in the Word of God. If you're still in Philippians chapter 4, please, from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. You see, Paul didn't just say this to us, rejoice in the Lord always, and stop there. He actually goes on now to tell us, how do we deal with stress? How do we deal with worrying? How do we deal with fear? You know, there's so much fear in our nation right now. Fear of what's going to happen. We got the December conference of the ANC coming up, and this recent one, we saw people throwing chairs at each other, and you know, our nation is in a place where we're not sure, and there's so much fear around. So much fear. that pervades our culture. And so Paul goes on to say, what is the solution? In verse 5, he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then he says these wonderful words, friends, in verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. So what Paul is saying, firstly, we must worry about nothing, pray about everything. What is the solution to worry, stress, and fear? It's prayer. If you make a habit of this, friends, your life will change forever. If you go into your onto your worry list, okay, we all have a worry list, the things we worry about. There's many things. For some of you, the list is this long. For some of you, the list is shorter. But we all have a worry list. We worry about things. But can I give you a money-back guarantee this morning? If you take what's on your worry list and you transfer it onto your prayer list, your life will be radically different. Because you've taken what you worry about, what you stress about, what you fear, and you have given it to God. And then Paul goes on to say, and when you've given it to God, when you've prayed about everything, guess what? Then the peace of God comes on you. And I've noticed, friends, the things I worry and stress about, the things I fear, if I continue to do that, it leads for me to live in a place where God's never called me to live. I carry stuff that God's never called me to carry. What he has called me to do is to come to him and say, Lord, I can't carry this. I'm giving it to you now. Here it is. You are in control. I'm not. You know I don't. And you know what it leads to? What it does for me? It liberates me. It sets me free. And actually, the peace of God comes into my heart. Because we can't do it. We can't change it. You and I, as we sit here this morning, friends, cannot change the future of this nation in and by ourselves. But what we can do is we can pray. What we can do is we can give it to God. We can trust the Lord with that. But what crushes you and I is when we think we have to carry it. When we think we have to carry this burden. Even some of you here this morning, where your children is at, stop stressing about your children less and start praying for them more. About their future, about wherever they're at right now, even today, pray for them. I mean, when my son had epileptic fits, we were trying to lead this church, and you know, God was doing things, and I was trying to do so much in my own strength. And my wife and I, we were so specialists. We went and saw all of these people, and one day we sat with the top pediatric neurologist. You know all those terminology. That just all that means is ka-ching, 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 really. And we were sitting with this lady, the most learned lady doctor in our city, and my boy was drawing there, and she needed to see that he could cross his middle line for some reason. And so he made this little thing, and he crossed it, and he says, that looks like the cross that Jesus died on for our sins. How old was he? 3 years old. I sat there, I was like, what did he just say? The doctor was like, stunned. She looked at me, I looked at my wife, and he said, this looks like the cross that Jesus died on for our sins. And this doctor, most learned person in that moment, just, that's nice, let's go to the next exercise. And she had no idea how to handle that statement from this 3 year old, or however old he was then. And in that moment, God said to me, he says, am I not able? Am I not capable to heal your son? And you know, friends, God said to me, and not long after that, God said to me, I've healed your son. Stop the medication. I went to my wife, I said, babe, God has healed him. Stop the medication. He was going to be supposed to be on that medication until he's a teenager. And then later on, in 10 years from then, we have to kind of slow. God said, I've healed him, stop the medication. I went to my wife, she's like, whoa, babe, this is, are you, babe, can we just have a conversation? Give me some time to work through this. Yeah. I gave her the time, she worked through it. But what happened is God had healed him. Because instead of me stressing and threatening and making a plan, I rather went to God and said, God, you able, you capable. You know, friends, God supernaturally healed him. And when God says, I've healed him, he didn't have a single seizure or a fit or an inclination. It is all gone. Because God healed him. Set him free in that moment. Because instead of carrying the stress and the worry and trying to make a plan and work this out, rather we went to God. And when God says, I heal, we went back to the lady. We said to him, I said, listen, I believe my son is healed. We want to stop the medication. Ooh, no. Please come sit down. Let me chart. And she brought out charts and she shows us treatments. And this is the case and this is the study of this university. I said, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate all of that. But can I tell you, God has healed my son. And we're taking him off this medication. And she had to sit there and sign something to say like, well, I will not be held responsible if he gets hurt or something happens to him. You make the decision as a parent. It's your responsibility. And God had healed him. I want to encourage us this morning, church. We serve a supernatural God who is able and capable. Let's go to him. So what have you got on your worry list this morning? What are you worried about today? It's time to transfer it to your prayer list. Stop worrying and start praying. Start trusting God. He's able and he knows, friends. One by one, give them to the Lord. I do that often when I just feel things are getting too much and it's just with all of the demands and the ministry and the family and everything else that goes on, I just go to God and I literally write down a couple of things on a piece of paper and I say, Lord, today I'm transferring it from my worry list to my prayer list. Here it is. And I pray each one. You know what I do then? I take that piece of paper and I rip it up and I put it in the bin. And for me, it helps me to know that now today I've trusted God. Those things are there. It's with him. He's going to do it. He knows. I'm not going to sit on those things any longer. Because worry is like an addiction. It holds us captive. It takes your time. It requires your attention. And it forces you to focus on things that you cannot solve. So what does Paul say we should do? He gives us three keys. Number one, verse 4, rejoice. Rejoice. Laugh. Have fun. Don't take yourself so seriously. I think as Christians, man, we take ourselves way too seriously. Too often. Vaughn, thanks for that smile, buddy. I really do think so, friends. We've got to have fun. We've got to laugh. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm driving somewhere, I put on the radio on 702. Man, I cannot listen to that stuff for half an hour. Hey. And I'm like, Lord, where's the nearest hill? I just want to drive this car off this road. Because it's just all negative. You go buy a newspaper after church today, from the front page to the back page, 90% of what you're going to read there is going to be negative. So we must be careful, friends, not to fill ourselves with the negativity of the world. Now, I'm not saying we're going to put our heads in the sand like an ostrich and hope for the best, and when we come up again, it's all going to be fine. But I'm saying don't fill yourself with negative things. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you give yourself to ongoingly. Because what you fill this with is what's going to begin to cause you to live a specific way. No, my teenagers are not here now. I don't know if they've gone outside. But I'm telling you, we are, this thing of my door's closed, giving my privacy, forget it. This is my house, it's my door, you're in my room. I bought you that phone and that tablet, and I will be on it. Friends, we cannot just hand our children over to these things. We've got to be involved in their lives. Check, what are they looking at? What are they seeing? What are they watching? Who are they talking to on those things? It's crucial. Because the world out there is feeding them all of the stuff. I mean, I was in a church not long ago in a little country town outside Pretoria. It's just farmers. In the school, there's an epidemic of suicide, of teenagers killing themselves. The pastor says, when I get a call from the school now, weekly I know it is another child who has killed themselves. Young, I'm talking about 13-year, 12-year-old friends who should be loving life are taking their lives like this. Why? Because of the stuff that has been fed them by the world. And so we've got to be so careful what it is that we allow ourselves to be exposed to ongoingly. And then the next one, Paul says, is that we need to relax. We need to take it easy more often. He says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. I realized some time ago, man, I was just too intense. Everyone around me was like, you know, I come into the room, they're all like talking here and talking there. And like when I join the conversation, they all just go, because I'm just too intense. And I need to lighten up. And I think that's for many of us. And then verse 7, we need to rest. We need to rest, friends. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus. You know, I love this thing it says, where Jesus says, is any of you weary and burdened? He says, come to me, and you will find rest. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. You see, friends, where true joy comes from is not from the things of the world. It's from abiding in Christ. The last scripture I want to read is John 15. Jesus says this from verse 9. It says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. You see, friends, if you and I are going to live in this joy that the Bible speaks about, it does only come from being in Jesus. He says, my joy I've given you. And he says that your joy may be complete. And then he says, my command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. What is the fruit? One of them is joy. Going back to Galatians. My question to us this morning is, friends, is that fruit of joy evident in your life? Are you living in it? Are you experiencing it? Are other people seeing it and tasting it? The joy, even in the difficulty and the strife that you go through and the challenges. He says, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, that you love each other. And I want to just pray this morning, if that's okay, Mark, for us. And I want to ask you this morning, just as we close our eyes, friends, Now, Paul makes this incredible statement. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And this morning, friends, as we sit it here, maybe in this place, and you cannot say this morning that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You've lost sight of that. You've kind of operated in your own strength. You've kind of tried to do this on your own, and there's very little joy evident in your life this morning. I really do believe that the Holy Spirit wants to pour out joy in our hearts again this morning. Joy even in the midst of trial and difficulty and the challenges that we face. That we will go into our workplaces and our offices, our universities and our schools, that people will see this joy evident. Even when we face the difficulties, people will say, well, why in this time, then things are so tough, are you so joyful? And we're able to say, you know what, let me tell you where my joy comes from. It's not from what's around me or the things in this world. My joy comes from the Lord. And I'd love to pray for all of us here this morning. Father, I ask you this morning in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you would put joy in our hearts this morning. As we heard earlier, that joy does not come from the outward. There's nothing this world can offer us that can give us this true joy. Not a new car, not a new house, not a promotion, or that perfect husband, or that perfect wife, or whatever it is that we think will bring the joy. The joy that we need, we can only receive from you, Lord. And I pray this morning that you would fill us with this joy, that it would bubble up inside of us, Lord, that it would be evident to people around us. And that, Lord, whatever it is that we are facing this morning, help us this morning to transfer it from our worry list to our prayer list. That we would stop worrying, we would stop stressing, we would stop fearing, and we would start trusting. Lord, that we would write those things down on our prayer list and trust you, Jesus, to do that which only you can do. Set us free this morning, Father. I really have a sense this morning that the Lord is liberating some people who have carried some fear and anxiety and stress for so long that it's crippled your faith. The Lord said this morning, I feel the Lord saying this morning, let me set you free from that thing which you cannot carry. It's going to crush you. It's going to keep you ineffective. Give it to me. Give it to me this morning. I feel the Lord is saying, you cannot carry it any longer. Hand it over to the one who can do something. By faith this morning, Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. You are the God of the impossible. I felt specifically that there were some people who have been in some financial struggle and difficulty. Man, and you're just in that place where you're constantly worrying about the finances and the provision. I feel the Lord saying this morning, hand it over. Hand it over to me, truly hand it over to me. Don't pray and then go and make your own plan. Pray and watch what I will do. I am the God who provides. If that's you this morning, just now, just say, Lord, I trust you in this area, my finances, my business, where you're at, that job, that provision, whatever it is, trust you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Don't lose your testimony of joy. We're going to sing one last song, and we're going to rejoice in the Lord.